experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTV. It's 10 after 8. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD HD. I'm Gregory Berg. My thanks again to Troy McDonald, who was guest host for yesterday's program with Nan Calvert. Today, I am back and happy to be speaking, first of all, with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, paying his monthly visit to the program. And we have an exceptionally interesting topic for this coming hour, which we'll tell you about in just a moment. First, President Albrecht, we welcome you back to the program.
Thank you. Good morning, Greg. Always
good
to be here.
Good to see you. I know that one of the things you want to say before we get into the topic of the day is a word about a congratulatory word for a number of different Gateway student organizations who have scored some really sweet successes in the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, it's so important that we not only highlight the great academic success of our students, but also the student leadership that they provide for our communities and their professions. And The last couple of weeks, we've been really entrenched in helping students demonstrate their skills through different levels of competition. And I was so proud to be able to attend the state DECA conference. This is where our marketing and business students compete at the state level, and they compete with other two-year colleges and four-year universities in a wide variety of competitive areas, including small business planning, public speaking, the development of new products. And it was really exciting to see all of the Gateway students receive their recognition. And Gateway has a strong history with the DECA organization for many years, have earned a lot of gold medals, and now our students will have a chance to go on to the national competition, and they're so excited, and I'm so proud of them. And I just wanted to say thank you to Kelly Infizino, who is one of the lead instructors and the advisor for the program, and Carrie Aliello, who really is a champion for helping students demonstrate their skills outside of the classroom.
Very good. So that's a happy, happy day.
Very much so. It was a lot of fun to be there that evening. You know, on top of that, we host many events on the campus. Last Saturday, in fact, we hosted the Boy Scouts of America. Gateway is one of the few colleges in the country that has their own merit badge for the Scouts. I don't know if you knew that.
But
we had 186 young men here demonstrating competencies in 12 different areas, all the way from aviation to welding. And it was just an uplifting and remarkable experience because they're so excited about learning those new skills. And they get to go to our classrooms in our labs and meet with mentors and demonstrate their skills. And then they earn a patch. And you know how important those are to the Scouts. And
It's
just one more way to bring young people on campus and celebrate their learning environment and the success that they have. And we do it for the Girl Scouts as well. And we just completed the Girl Scout Go Green badge, which is another unique opportunity to bring young people on campus. And, you know, whether it's the Scouts or whether it's our own programs here or even our partnerships with our high schools, because many high schools have some level of student leadership. Sometimes it's through student government or National Honor Society. And a few weeks ago, Gateway hosted the regional Skills USA competitions, and we had 300 young boys and girls here from the area high schools competing in a wide variety of events and earning their medals of recognition to go on to state competition. And it's nice to know that that level of engagement that Gateway has, not only in the classroom but outside the classroom, is really beneficial to our community.
Absolutely. And I know that you're also excited and proud of a Gateway partner that won an award from the Wisconsin Technology Education Association.
Yeah, I'm a little extra proud on this one. last month, once a year, we invite a school district to our college board meeting, and we put them under the spotlight. We bring their students in, their administrative, their teachers, and we have a conversation with what Gateway can do to strengthen our services to those schools, but more importantly, to hear from the students on how well they're be able to access Gateway services. And last month, we highlighted Westosha Central High School. Now, you may know that. That's where my wife Lisa is the principal at. So Scott Pierce serves on our board. He's a trustee. He's the superintendent for the district. And we were just so pleased with the level of involvement and engagement we have through articulated programs, dual credit programs, and the responsibility that our student specialists have in helping young people make good decisions about future careers. And many of those young people will come directly to Gateway. But then, surprisingly, the other night I was at a banquet for the Wisconsin Technology Education Association. These are the state teachers for technology ed, and they announced the state program of the year at Westosia Central. So I want to give a big shout out to all of my colleagues over at Westosia for their state recognition, the wonderful award that they received, and they truly deserve it because they've done so much to help advance technical education in that district and could not be more proud of their work.
And it's all due to the principal.
I would like to think so, but we know that a lot of that does not happen in the administrator's office, right? It happens in the classroom.
Yeah, but boy, an administrator can make a difference for the better, that's for sure.
It takes an entire team, I guess.
Sure. Well, speaking of that, I know that there are all kinds of people who have been working tremendously hard to bring to reality an absolutely extraordinary new step in Gateway's already outstanding nursing program. And this is the topic today.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to share this with our community. You know, we have such a great nursing program, as many of our programs have not only local recognition, but state and many times national recognition for the leadership they provide in the industry and the types of skills that are demonstrated to students. When I think about where the future of nursing is, and we know that technology has such a huge impact on the way that we provide healthcare. And our question here at Gateway always, how do we stay up with the training needs that we have to get nurses ready for all of those technological impacts that they might see as a nurse? And so we made a commitment to almost 2 years ago already to really begin to invest in a program called the Human Patient Simulator Training. And so we've had some of these on campus before, but they've been as a part of the traditional classroom environment. About a year ago, Diane Skewes, who has recently retired, and I'm sure she's listening today to our program, deserves a lot of credit because she brought forward an idea of creating a center around human patient simulation training so that we can give our nurses the best hands-on experience possible, allow them to really practice skills that they're not necessarily able to practice in a traditional practical lab setting. And I'm super excited about it because it is the future of nursing training. It gives us a chance to really demonstrate the high level of skills that our students have and a new way to engage the community in accessing the resources of Gateway. So I'm really happy today to be able to share the discussion around the Human Patient Simulator Training Center that's coming to Gateway. And we have some great guests with us today as well to help share that.
Very good. And we're excited to introduce them to you now. Ann Wilkinson, who is interim dean of Gateway's outstanding nursing program, and Vicki Hulbeck, who is one of the instructors. She's a part of the nursing faculty here at Gateway, and we'll be hearing from her since she's had a lot of hands-on involvement in the creation of this Human Patient Simulation Center, which, if I understood you correctly, is going to be housed right here in this building.
Right here, yes. So every day when you come into the radio station, you will be walking in the realms of healthcare, nurses, and
walking past robots.
Human robots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm swallowing hard here and trying to take it all in. So we welcome both of you.
Thank you.
So Ann Wilkinson, interim dean. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, your own background, if you began your working life as a nurse yourself, and at what point you became part of Gateway.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. And, I've been a nurse for over 30 years, and I've done hospital nursing, clinic nursing, long-term care nursing, intensive care unit here in Kenosha, and also a nurse practitioner. So I've been a nurse for over 30 years. About 17 years ago, I started at Gateway and have been teaching here ever since. The past 4 years, I have been the department program chair of the department, and just recently started as the interim dean. Locally in the community, I'm involved. I'm a board member for Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, Inc. Mm. I also serve on the Kenosha County Nutrition Council. And just recently, I was appointed to a national nursing organization, appointed to one of their committees, and that's the National Gerontological Nursing Association. So that's my story.
So you don't sit around.
I'm just so proud of Ann. I mean, what you just heard, what a tremendous career, a career of service to our community. A career in the healthcare is not something that we should take lightly because it is a 24/7 job. It's something that never leaves you. You have to give of yourself for others, and I think it's really remarkable the time and effort that she's put into it. And now to be our interim dean and to help us shape the future of nursing and to serve on a national committee just, I think, highlights her recognition by her peers in her profession.
Wow. It was interesting to hear the array of different kinds of nursing that you have done. Is that common? Do a lot of nurses end up being, well, I did this for a while and this for a while and this for a while, or is that, or is, and is that a conscious choice you made, or is that just sort of the way it happened?
Part of it was a conscious choice, but I tell my students, you know, I tell our students nursing is just a phenomenal career because you can start somewhere and become interested in a little bit different specialty, and you may not have to leave your organization. You can work through your organization, and nursing just offers tremendous opportunities for growth. And so I would say that it's pretty common for nurses, although I don't know, Vicki, have you stayed basically in obstetrics or no?
No.
You've been a wanderer too.
I've been wandering a little also.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your nursing career before you even came to Gateway. What kind of a nurse were you and so on?
Before I came to Gateway, I actually started out, and I'm really proud of the fact that I started out in an associate's degree program. So I also
like Gateway,
graduated from a program just like Gateway's. I've been a nurse, oh, hate to admit it, 20 years now.
That's a great thing to be.
I started out in oncology, and I worked in oncology for a few years, and I worked on a bone marrow transplant unit.
Wow.
And then applied to labor and delivery. How random.
That's an interesting
shift.
But
I always wanted to be a labor and delivery nurse, so I did choose to switch to working in labor and delivery. I've worked in labor and delivery, the NICU. I've also worked in an OB-GYN clinic. And I also have taught here at Gateway for the last 5 years. I actually happen to be one of those people who kind of got a last-minute text message. There's an adjunct career fair. You should stop in.
I'll stop in. You'd never particularly thought of yourself as a teacher, had you done some of that?
I had thought of myself as a teacher more because in nursing, teaching is such a huge part of nursing.
Mm.
And I had an extraordinary opportunity to be invited to Gateway to present to the Kenosha Fire Department by Bernadette O'Connell. So I actually came in as kind of a expert in labor and delivery to talk to the fire department about delivering. So my interview here at Gateway kind of fell within a few weeks of that.
That's so great. I'm so inspired just hearing both of their stories about, you know, the types of programming that's offered at Gateway and in their careers getting to where they are today in leadership roles in nursing. And you think about the impact and the expectations and responsibilities that we have on nurses. You know, you're talking about prenatal care and helping parents understand all of the circumstances that their children, newborns, are under, and how do you educate, I guess, teach parents at all different levels, bone marrow transplant and gerontology, all of the things that, you know, we don't really know much about as civilians that have to be taught that in the context of an emergency situation in many cases. And it's really the nurse that provides that set of not only knowledge and skills, but comfort, and really helps understand through compassion how we can adapt as humans to changes in our lives.
Right, make others as happy as they can be sometimes in really difficult circumstances. Vicki Hulbeck, we should also offer up a word of congratulations that you were the recipient of the 2017 President's Faculty Excellence Award for this campus, the Kenosha campus. That has to feel really, really good, especially relatively early in your teaching career to be singled out like that.
It is such an honor, and I think probably the biggest honor part of that is that it's a coworker who nominates you.
Ah.
So, and to be surrounded by so much talent and to be recognized by our faculty is amazing.
Well, yeah, I would agree. The peer-to-peer awards are really inspiring because it means that people are noticing the great work that you're doing, that you're making a huge difference in the classroom and helping our students achieve their own personal goals. So congratulations, Vicki.
Thank you.
Very good. So, Ann Wilkerson, your badge bears the proud letters RN, so you continue to be a registered nurse in addition to all that you're doing here at Gateway. Just explain what's involved in earning that badge.
Yes, it's definitely an honor, and we tell our students that. But there are, you know, there are three paths to becoming an RN. Aspiring students can choose to go to a diploma school, or receive their associate's degree from a technical college or community college, or get a baccalaureate degree. And then all three of those pathways lead to the same licensure exam. So the students still have to pass that exam. So there's a lot of studying, a lot of preparation, a lot of hands-on clinical experiences that we provide here at Gateway. We believe in in theory and evidence-based practice, but also clinical application. And our students get a large variety of clinical experiences.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the most confusing parts for the average person to fully understand. So it's whether you go to UW-Milwaukee or Carroll College, Waukesha County Technical College, or Gateway Technical College. And so you're in a two-year program, a four-year program. When you complete, you sit for the state exam to become a registered nurse
at
all
of
those
different,
no matter what, at all of those institutions. And so our students are competing against students that have gone to four-year degree programs in different institutions, have different levels of support and capacity, and our students do really well. I'm very proud of them because our instructors are remarkable, and the hands-on experience they receive here at Gateway really helps to elevate their test scores, and they come out as registered nurses and provide some great quality care in our communities.
Very good. Vicki, we should direct this to you, but Anne, feel free to chime in on this really important question. You deal with students all the time who come to Gateway thinking that they want to be a nurse, but maybe not fully understanding what a nurse does, what the life is like, what the profession is like. What do you tell somebody who maybe fancies themselves a nurse or is sort of intrigued by the notion? What is important to know in trying to decide if this is the profession for you?
You've kind of already hit on that. Nursing is a lifestyle. So kind of our first day when we sit down with our students and talk to them about nursing and why they chose nursing as a profession, sometimes we do hear the rare occasion where they say, I heard it's a job that pays well. Well, it's not just a job. It's a career and it's a lifestyle. And you're not just a nurse when you're at work. You're a nurse in your life, in your neighborhood, in your social life. So nursing is kind of, it takes a person who's very motivated and compassionate in helping other people. And it's a very selfless profession. I will, I'm very, very proud to say that in 2016, for the 15th year in a row, nursing was voted the most trusted profession.
Ah.
By the Gallup poll. So it takes someone who's very dedicated. And even in just in their classes, there's a huge difference between a nursing student and any other program. There's no other program that's going to push you to your limits and challenge you to the point that nursing will.
You know, I always find it intriguing, too. It's probably the number one program that young people request when they want information about Gateway. A lot of young people in high schools think they want to be a nurse, and so we have a lot of applicants in that area. And it may be because they it's pretty visible. So they see it when they go to the doctor. They see it if they have to go to the hospital. They see it on TV a lot, you know, Chicago Police, Chicago Fire, all that. But it's really not exactly like it's displayed on TV, is it?
No, it's not. And I will say, even myself, I knew I wanted to be a nurse because of the interaction I had with a hospice nurse who was caring for my grandmother. So I think we have interactions with people who show us compassion and are caring, and we think that's something I want to do for someone else.
Yeah, I love those stories during the pinning ceremonies when the student describes how they became a nurse, and then they usually have one of their colleagues come up and actually do the pinning. And a lot of times it is about an experience that they've gone through that changed their life, and they want to give back to the society in some way, and they do it through nursing.
Absolutely.
For those of you just joining us, this is Brian Albrecht's monthly visit to the morning show. He, of course, is the president of Gateway Technical College, and today we are focusing on a very exciting new day for the nursing program here at Gateway Technical College, namely the creation of a human patient simulation center, which will be housed right here in what's at least now called the Biosciences Building. Will it still be called that?
No, we will have a new name for this building at some point.
Oh, all right. But at any rate, so right in the same building where our WGTD studios are housed will be this wonderful new human patient simulation center that will be accessed by Gateway's many nursing students. We have with us, in addition to President Albrecht, Ann Wilkinson, who is interim dean of the nursing program here at Gateway, and Vicki Hulbeck, who is a member of the nursing faculty here and the most recent recipient of one of the president's faculty excellence awards for her teaching here at Gateway. Ann Wilkinson, I have a feeling many of the instructors in the nursing program, maybe all of them, continue to be active nurses even while they're teaching, at least to some extent. Is that possible?
Oh, yes, that's exactly correct. Many of our faculty are practicing in our community as staff nurses in the hospitals or supervisors in the hospitals. We have many nurse practitioners. This experience that they bring just enriches, you know, directly impacts our students' experience in the classroom, because you have your textbooks, and then you have your instructor who is actively practicing, and it just makes for a great learning experience for our students. Hmm. It brings the lesson to life.
Sure. Oh, that's a nice way to put it. And, yeah, and I should think that happens all the time where, someone standing in front of a class can say, well, just last week I was dealing with such and such, and here's what happened, and here's what I did, and mm-hmm. that really makes it feel like real life.
Yes, when you're telling a story along with the theory, it really makes the two come together.
Well, absolutely, because a lot of times the theory in the book doesn't always portray what the circumstances are in many cases, and it takes that, you know, that uniqueness of being in that position to have to respond very quickly, to respond with a lot of different contexts that you can draw upon, and having professional nurses on our faculty really makes our programs, I think, unique and stand out, and probably helps assure that our students are getting the best possible training that we can provide.
Very good. Mickey, I wonder if you have any perspective on that as also someone who's been you have been a nurse in various capacities and now teach at Gateway. What kind of impact does that have on your teaching?
Actually, I still work in labor and delivery at St. Catharines in Pleasant Prairie also.
Wow.
I think it's really important for nurse educators to continue to be active in the nursing community, because nursing is changing at record speed. Our patients are becoming more complex. Technology is moving ahead. And without continuing to practice or be very active in following our evidence-based practice, it's difficult to keep up.
I didn't even thought about that. So the fact that you are still nursing means that you experience these changes firsthand. The role that the way that role has changed, or the responsibilities that nurses face all the time, or the complexities of the workplace, you're dealing with that as a nurse, not just as a teacher.
We are, yes, and that role has significantly changed. Absolutely.
What would be a couple of the most important ways in which the role of the nurse has changed, or the way you do your work?
Well, sometimes what I tell the students is, it used to be that at the end of a shift, you would walk into a nurse's station, and if it was a busy day, you wouldn't see any nurses because they're all in the patient rooms. Because we used to keep the paper charts at the patient's bedside. Now, if it's a busy day, you really might walk into a nurse's station and see all the nurses on computers charting. So a lot of our things have gone electronic, which is great for patient safety, because with the electronic medical record, we're sharing information in a safe environment. But the patient complexity has increased, because we no longer keep patients that are low acuity in an inpatient setting. A lot of healthcare is moving to an outpatient or a home setting. So the patients who are on our medical surgical units tend to be a much higher acuity and they're much more sick. So we have, as far as our nursing educators, we have got to step up to that challenge and prepare our nurses just coming out of school to take care of that higher acuity patient.
Mm. You know, I think it's remarkable, not only the technology changes that are driving the way that care is provided, whether it's digital record keeping and the responsiveness that the expected customer has. So if you're a patient, you expect to have the answer like right now, right? We're not going to be sick for 3 days. I want my medicine right this minute. And then all of the changes in medicine itself and the drugs that are out there is so different, and so many new ones on the market, and having to be able to understand and know how all of those work, and to be able to be a part of a conversation with doctors and helping provide that type of ongoing care is really, like Vicki said, it's just an exponential growth in that area. And a lot of times in education, we think about the beginning of the school year, the curriculum is set. Well, in nursing, there really is no set curriculum. It's going to change tomorrow. So don't get too comfortable. We're going to revise this as we go along here, because something else is going to make us think differently about the way we provide that care.
Wow. Vicki, maybe you could outline for us what kind of got rattled off earlier. That is, all these various types of nurses that there are. And maybe give us a sense of how maybe somebody might choose for themselves, oh, well, that's maybe the kind of nurse that I should be versus these other levels or other categories? Although maybe it's too many to go through them all.
There are so many. But
there are quite a few.
They do say statistically new graduates will practice for only about 2 years in the first setting they start in. So Anne and I, our paths aren't that different like from the average nurse. Most people don't stay in the first area that they've practiced in. And I think that is one of the huge things that's contributed to our nursing shortage is that there's so many areas that nurses are used. We use nurses in community settings. We have, well, our outgoing dean who is going to be a parish nurse. So we have parish nursing. We have nurses who work for pharmaceutical companies doing for safety and research and development. We have nurses who are working for insurance companies, forensic nursing, legal nurse consulting. We have our bedside nurses, which are hugely valuable. We can't do without them. They work in clinics. The newest kind of healthcare that I'm learning about is telehealth. So we have nurses on the other end of those computers and those telephones and those text messages that are educating our patients from their homes. My grandmother was just in the hospital, and her neurologist did her first assessment via telehealth. It was a computer screen. To decide whether to transfer her or not. So we have nurses who are our health educators, who are our clinical nurse educators. So the list really goes on and on. School nursing, you need a nurse at your schools.
I think it's pretty remarkable, all the different career paths. And that's what's so encouraging about what we're developing in the Human Patient Simulator Center, because we can expose students to a wide variety of different scenarios that maybe they hadn't been exposed to or just hadn't thought about as part of their career path. And from all of the different levels of nursing and all of the different settings that you can be in, I think there are some core values that go along with any one of those programs, and that's developing that patient care philosophy and that internal passion to be able to give of yourself to help others, and that's really what we're trying to drive at.
And maybe you could speak to the nursing shortage that Vicki just talked about, just how serious a shortage are we talking about? Is it in every aspect of nursing? And what about this matter of trying to find enough sort of proper settings to train the people who want to be nurses? What's most important there, and what sort of function does Gateway serve in that whole process?
Well, there is a nursing shortage, and it's happening right now. It has to do with the demographics of our nation and the baby boomers, of which I belong to that group, are, you know, every so many seconds a baby boomer retires. So so that adds to the working shortage for nurses and nursing assistants. But as far as, like, clinical space goes, what Vicki was talking about with our with the patients in the hospitals are not there long. They are there for a short amount of time usually. They're acutely ill. They either go home and rehabilitate at home, or they might go for a short-term rehab stay and then go home when they're strong enough. So as far as, like, clinical space, our curriculum, we flow from simple to complex. So our first semester students start in long-term care. They get to see the chronic diseases and learn how to care for patients with chronic diseases. After that, they go into the hospital and acute care, and they start seeing the acute conditions. With each clinical setting, as we look for clinical space, we also augment every single clinical class in our curriculum is augmented with simulation. At least once, but most likely three times during the semester, they will be brought into the simulation room or the simulation center, which will be coming. The instructor can create a scenario or use a scenario that has specific objectives for the level of nursing that they're doing and for the focus, and it's really a great experience for the students because they get to see it all unfold, and the instructors can create a lot of experiences for the students in a short period of time.
I think think it's remarkable how intertwined nursing is into our community. So not only do we have our faculty that are practicing nurses in the field, but our students have that real-world experience in those settings as well. So they're on clinical rotations, and they're back in the classroom, and the simulation enhances that experience. So when they get back out into the clinical, you know, they have more valued context of learning, and it's just a really integrated process, community-based educational program.
That's so exciting. So, Vicki, we need to get to this matter of the human patient simulator, and maybe we should even talk also about this notion of simulation, which Anne was just mentioning as well. So some kind of simulation work is already occurring here at Gateway, but it sounds like you're about to take it to kind of another level. So explain that.
We do have human patient simulation labs already in Kenosha and Burlington, but a much smaller scale. We use the human patient simulator. First of all, it's a mannequin. It's a robot that actually responds physiologically. So, in that, this is a mannequin who has pulses, who has a heart rate, who has lung sounds, bowel sounds. We have Lucy, the childbirth simulator, who gives birth to a breech delivery, a vaginal delivery. She also can have a postpartum hemorrhage of up to 2 liters of blood-tinged fluid. These are mannequins that we can talk into a microphone and it comes out of their head. So it looks as if you're talking to them.
It seems like they're talking to you.
They're talking to you.
Wow.
It's scary at first, but after a while you get used to it because they'll blink at you and they'll let you know whether or not it hurts. And
you just never know when you might walk in and have a childbirth occurring.
Wow. Holy cow. And so for instance, with Lucy, you can determine today she's going to give birth this way and she's going to experience this potential problem.
And
then the nursing student working on Lucy has to contend with it then.
It's an experiential learning environment so that we can provide a learning experience that may not be available in clinical. I can have a student assigned to a labor patient all day for 12 hours, and she may not give birth. Hmm. But Lucy, she will always deliver.
At the press of a button.
she will always deliver.
And the scenario is so real. I mean, the student and the patient will be in a hospital room, and then behind the wall that the student cannot see through the glass will be the technician that will actually be controlling the mannequin robot. So if something could happen where a heart rate goes up or a pulse goes down and, you know, reaction to a medication. And as a nurse, then you have to be able to make that judgment and respond appropriately. And all of it's recorded so that the instructors then can monitor the reaction times and, you know, change the circumstances of the patient. So the student has to adapt and go along as if they were right there in the hospital room taking care of a person.
Wow. Wow.
She's amazing, too. She runs on Wi-Fi. So we've actually had her deliver in community settings with the Kenosha Fire Department. She delivered at Strawberry Creek in the dining room.
So she doesn't have to be here.
She doesn't have to be here. We've used her with Union Grove Fire Department and taken her right to the fire department. St. Catharines, we've done postpartum hemorrhage drills there to help educate the nurses and do continuing competency with them. So it offers an opportunity not just for nursing students, but to develop an interdisciplinary training environment so that we can bring all disciplines together. And it does help with kind of identifying system flaws. So if something's not going right, or maybe equipment's not where it should be, or there's a better place for it, you can run the simulator as if she's a patient. And the great thing is that if something goes wrong and she dies, we really can turn her back on and we can do it again.
That's right. So the mistakes aren't quite so costly then, in a sense.
No.
Right.
I will say that students do respond at times as if she's a real patient. By the end of the scenario, they have invested in her to the point of emotionally it impacts them as if it were a real patient. And as nurses and nursing students, we know that we learn from our mistakes. And we will never do it again. So we can make that mistake on a human patient simulator, and then we can come right back and remember that. And it elicits the same emotion as if it were a real patient.
Wow. So there's still a sense of loss to a surprising degree.
There is.
Well, I think it makes it just a little bit more real for a student. I mean, you can learn about a textbook and a PowerPoint and a slide and then go into a hospital setting in a clinical. And until you're in front of a patient is when all of those things have to come together and your response time needs to be instantaneously, you can now practice that, and you can get better at that response time, and you can see different scenarios, and you can anticipate what might happen if you did such a change in a drug formula or something, and so you're better prepared for those really important decisions when there's a live patient in front of you.
Right. And I'm just guessing you and I are both baby boomers that when you first trained as a nurse, you didn't have robots you were working on. I mean,
no, there were no robots.
I mean, we had to practice on each other.
We practiced on each other, yes.
Wow. So it's your turn to have the breech birth this month? Is that the thing?
Oh, no, nobody signed up for that one.
I don't suppose. But I mean, on a more serious note, I should think it just must be extraordinary for you to see this dramatic shift in the way nurses learn the craft and science and art of nursing, you know, compared to the way it was when you were first studying to be a nurse.
Oh, exactly. You know, we had our textbooks and we had our professors, but now with the evidence, you know, with the emphasis on evidence-based learning and active learning instead of passive learning, our students have so many opportunities to just, like Vicki was just explaining, really actively be thinking like nurses in the classroom before they go with their instructor to the clinical site. And it is just, it's just amazing. Mm. It's really great. Mm.
So, Vicki, explain then this exciting new human patient simulator center that's going to be now housed in this building, and construction beginning soon, you were saying.
That's correct.
So what's involved in putting that together, and just what is the scope of this new center?
Oh, this is a huge team effort on Gateway's part, I have to tell you. I don't think I can even list how many different departments of Gateway are involved in making this a huge success. Hmm. First of all, Diane Skewes, our outgoing dean, who is a huge advocate for us for getting our simulation center going, and Vanessa Kramus, who's a Burlington faculty member, who's also been a huge part in our planning and creating policies, Morgan Kaiser, who's our simulation technician and coordinator from the Kenosha campus, but wow, IT, the architect, just
facilities.
So Stephanie Skilba, who's hopefully going to help us create a beautiful environment down in the bioscience building. So, I mean, it seems that almost every department has been pulled in to help us make this a huge success.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about it. The Bioscience Center, the whole first floor, will replicate a healthcare facility. So there'll be hospital rooms that'll be built out with human patient simulators in them. So it'll be just like you're walking down the hall and you get an emergency call into room 319. And in 319, the patient will be having some sort of response action, and you have to be able to pick up the charts and go and respond to that. And there's going to be rooms that are set up for debriefing areas so that instructors can talk with students about what their experience was like and how they might improve. There's classroom settings so that we can do large group lecture programs. There's opportunities to bring community health organizations in to provide additional impact to students, whether it's lecture or actually do training for different partners in the hospital and healthcare industry as well. So I think it'll really transform the way that we visually see nurses responding. I know it will for you and I, Greg, in this building, but the goal is to open it up for the community as well so that there's a lot of community interaction with this type of learning environment.
Wow. And yeah, so the rest of us can understand even better what nurses do and how they do it, and not just in those moments when we ourselves are patients.
Correct.
Yeah, when we don't
We have
understand.
Some fairly creative faculty. You never know when the two of you may be involved in one.
Okay,
there you go. And you say a word about the need for faculty to stay abreast of all of these rapid and vast changes in the field. That has to be quite a challenge in and of itself, I should think.
Well, it's a challenge, but our faculty have been doing it for a couple of years now. We've been really more than a couple of years. We've been attending conferences, and we're really quite honored to have two faculty members that have completed very prestigious programs in simulation. And one is Vanessa Kramitz, and she was accepted. You don't just sign up for it. You have to be accepted into the National League of Nursing Simulation Leadership Center and completed over a year's worth of work for that. And it, the emphasis all on simulation education. And then, of course, Vicki here, she completed an International Association for Simulation and Clinical Learning, and so now she is credentialed and is a certified clinical healthcare simulation educator. And here at Gateway, we offer a class on a simulation for healthcare educators, and this will be the third year that we've offered it, and we have educators from all over the state that have come to take this class, and so it's very exciting. Our faculty have been on top of it for years now.
Wow,
you kind of get an idea why Diane and others were so aggressive toward me about getting the center up. We have some of the best faculty to deliver this, and they really dedicated their time and effort into providing leadership not only for our own community but for state and national organizations. And I'm very proud to I know that our center will be highly regarded as a very unique training center, and our students will have an advantage over other training programs around the state just because of the great work that our faculty have already put into making sure that it's successful.
That's terrific. And say a word about some of the important partnerships that have and will continue to make the nursing program so vital here.
Well, our community partnerships are kind of central to our nursing program, and really our students are actively engaged with the community from start to finish. And throughout our semesters, we have students involved with doing health screenings for Kenosha Unified, Racine Unified, and we do flu vaccine clinics, and we do blood pressure screenings. We're involved with the James Cramer Foundation. Breast cancer awareness events. We do work in Bridges Community Center here in Kenosha. But specifically for our simulation center, Vicki was touching on it earlier about how we've offered training to a lot of our different partners, St. Catharines, United Hospital Systems, Aurora Healthcare out in Elkhorn and Burlington, the fire department in Kenosha. And really what that does is it's really a great use of technology, and it's a cost-effective training for our community partners. And it gets interdisciplinary groups together to train also, and that's where we're hoping to expand more and more so that you have the scenario where you have the fire department bringing in the patient to the ER. The ER staff is training and doing what they do to stabilize the patient, and then they're sending the patient to the hospital floor for their, after their surgery. They can go to the OR. They can then go to long-term care rehab facility. Physical therapy can be involved. There's so many ways for interdisciplinary cooperation and speaking together and learning together with a simulation center like this. And the end outcome is better outcomes for the patient.
Right, which is what this is all about. It so happens that where I teach when every day when I get done here at Gateway is over at Carthage, which, of course, is launching its own nursing program. And I understand Marquette University as well is in a sense, penetrating the market here in the Kenosha area with a nursing program of their own. How do you kind of see that big picture? And are these kind of unwelcome competitors, or do you think there is room in the field for all of these different programs?
Not at all. They are not. You know, they are welcome and they are complementary to what we're doing. And our students start. And they will be on a continual path of lifelong learning. And so these are great opportunities to partner. And we have several articulations with different colleges throughout the state and outside of the state. For example, Marquette, we have articulations with them. We also have articulation agreements with Alverno, Carroll University, George Williams College, and Aurora University out by Lake Geneva. The UW systems, UW Parkside, UW Madison, UW Milwaukee. And most excitingly, we have a dual enrollment program with Cardinal Stritch. It's the first in the area in the state where our students can enroll at Gateway in their associate's program and also be enrolled at Cardinal Stritch and be starting the other classes that they need to complete their baccalaureate program. And so it's a wonderful program. So we have multiple articulations, and we're welcoming them.
Yeah, I think it really points to the fact that in this field especially, lifelong learning is an absolutely essential requirement. So you begin at Gateway, get all of those great experiences, lead into a job, but then know that your continuum of learning must be accelerated. So some will go on to a baccalaureate degree or even a master's degree in nursing. Others will come back for updated skill training that we have here. Others might move into other occupations. And I know, for an example, this integrated experience between fire and nursing and police science, all of those have some overlaps. Many of our fire medics are also nurses. In fact, one of our instructors is a nurse that provides that training. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to work with other organizations, including the universities.
Very good. Glad to hear it. We just have a couple of minutes left. Maybe a quick word about... again, all the choices that confront somebody in terms of wanting to be a nurse, I mean, and not just necessarily a registered nurse, but maybe a licensed, LPN licensed practical nurse, is that what that word stands for? Or all the other designations, or all the various workplaces in which one can do nursing. What does Gateway provide, if anything, in terms of trying to help people make those choices?
Here at Gateway, we don't have a standalone licensed practical nurse program. We have just a registered nurse program. However, there is an opportunity after the completion of your second semester to sit for your boards and become an LPN so that you can go ahead and start practicing in the field, which is a huge advantage for our students, because then they're already practicing and they're kind of learning those critical thinking skills because they're already in a patient care environment.
Okay.
We do have a CNA program, a medical assisting program, a registered nurse program with an option of becoming an LPN. We have some new programs that are really exciting, too. I don't know if you want to touch on those, but we have a paramedic to RN program.
We have are starting a paramedic to RN program where the paramedics come in with experience and education, and so we are giving them credit for prior learning, and they can complete a couple classes and bridge into our program. And so that gives them credit for prior learning. We're also starting a medic to RN program, and that's where the medics from the armed services get credit for prior learning, and they complete some modules and some classes and then can bridge directly into the nursing program and complete their degree.
That sounds very...
It's really exciting.
I'm so proud of all of the different avenues that have been already put in place to help people, whether they're new in high school, 17, 18 years old, going through a CNA program, and we have hundreds of young people doing that, whether they've served in the military and are coming back to leverage the skills they've learned in the armed services. We're so proud and honored to be able to serve those students, whether they're career changers coming back and something happened in their life and they want to be a nurse, and we can help give them credit for prior learning and find a pathway into our program. Partnering with other departments and organizations in the community, police, fire, fire medics, paramedics coming in to advance their skills into nursing. All of them are just great pathways, and we're so grateful that Gateway has that many different avenues of opportunity for our community members.
Fantastic. Well, we certainly encourage anybody who is intrigued and wants to learn more to check out Gateway's website, and I'm sure a very simple search will bring you into the pages that will give you all the information that you need. And then what kind of timeline are we talking about for this Human Patient Simulation Center? I mean, is this months away, years
away?
Months away,
Greg. We'll start this summer with the construction and begin offering classes in the center this fall. So I'm very excited about the rapid pace that we have in order to get this done. The IT courses that were in the Bioscience Center have already moved over to our new IT Center of Excellence on the Racine campus. So we've begun some preliminary work, and the drawings are done, and we're just ready now to begin a little major reconstruction.
Take out the hammers and nails
right,
and get going. All right. Well, Ann Wilkinson, Interim Dean of Nursing, great to meet you, and
yes,
congratulations on
thank
this great success.
Much.
Vicki Hulbeck, a member of the nursing faculty here and now an award-winning member of the nursing faculty here. Congratulations, and thank you for being part of the morning show today as well, and best wishes with this exciting new venture.
All right, thank you.
And President Brian Albrecht, always great to have you here.
Thank you, Greg, and I promised my two nieces that are nurses now that I would give them a shout-out during this program. So, Tori and Lindsay, I'm very proud of you. Good luck in your careers.
Very good. I'm Greg Reberg. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. Next week, we have some very interesting programs, and we begin on Monday with Lawrence Levy, the author of To Pixar and Beyond. Lawrence Levy was chief financial officer at Pixar. He became CFO of Pixar just before the release of their first full-length feature film, a little movie called Toy Story that changed everything. And Lawrence Levy helped preside over Pixar's rise to spectacular prominence in the film industry. His memoir is quite interesting, and you'll hear my interview with him on Monday. Dr. James Kinchin joins me on Tuesday from UW.